believe today devotees in Europe are celebrating Gaur Purnima. I hope they have a truly wonderful festival. I know that's the case in Hungary. And here in India, we're doing so tomorrow. And Keshubhari Maharaj told me that they're also celebrating, no, maybe tomorrow, because I don't know whether tomorrow or is today, because I was communicating with him earlier on, and that was last night. So yes, North America must also be today as well. And we have a wonderful Gaur Purnima. May Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shower his blessings upon the Vaishnavas, and may we all swim in the ocean of transcendental bliss that comes from chanting Hare Krishna and associating with Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. Last night I stayed up quite late. I'm in the swing of writing. And as mentioned, I'd started with the 18th chapter of Anava Vajra Mahima about Govardhan. And that's going nicely, but I had to stop to write an appendix, or what I call actually now a chapter, for the second part of the book. And it was inspired by the need for an explanation of how Giriraj appears in Goloka Vrindavan from Krishna's heart. How is it that Krishna's eternal associates appear to take birth in the realm where there is neither birth nor death? It's a great philosophical study, and I hope it doesn't take me too far off the chapter. Something that I've already discussed in Krishna Sangati, and doing so in just a little more detail here. Exciting. I'm going to continue the topic that we've been entertaining over the last few days, which is that of the qualifications of Brahmins and the importance of devotees to worship the deity as qualified Brahmins. And I'm going to, I'm referring now to another comment that I received from this from Lilavati Devadasi, who is of Hungarian origin but lives in the UK. And she was raising a point which I think has good merit and practical application in our everyday Krishna consciousness. Although I'm, anyway, her question is this, so just become clear what I'm just sort of mumbling about here. Her question is this: many Brahmins, she says, don't follow Brahminical standards. So should their spiritual masters take away, as I had mentioned the previous day, take away their right of Brahminical practice, chanting Gayatri Mantra? And if they do, then what will we do without so many pujaris? Okay, so before going on and clarifying the question, the reason I was hesitating because for me this is a hypothetical situation. I don't claim to know or agree with Lilavati's statement that many Brahmins don't follow Brahminical practices, whether that means they don't rise in the morning, they don't chant 60 rounds, they don't follow regulative principles. She doesn't make any specific reference, and it's not important. But let's talk about the case where a Brahmin has difficulty. Abhichet Sudaracharo, it's not an unheard of thing. Devotees do have difficulty while executing their devotional service. And if for some reason they're not able to live up to the standards of purity that's required to do deity worship, because in order to do deity worship, devotees actually should be pure, pure in habit, strict in sadhana, very much according to, anyway, the Brahminical qualities which we'd been talking about earlier. So, what should happen if someone's not able to maintain that? Well, let's look at some circumstances. It may be that someone has some accidental fall down, some temporary setback. Something that you could say isn't that he's developed some chronic bad habits. That Vaishnava should, of course, his responsibility is to open his, divulge what his situation is. He shouldn't just continue on his own doing service in which something different is expected of him, and he's not able to meet up to those expectations, meet up to that standard. In that case, he should tell a spiritual master, he should tell perhaps at least a head pujari, and they should analyze if a devotee really has a chronic problem for many, many years. I've been unable to rectify myself, no matter how often I've tried, then it may be and will be the responsibility of the spiritual master that if it evaluates that, well, it's really going to take quite a bit of effort, quite a bit of coaching, quite a bit of association, quite a bit of time, then that devotee should at least be asked to refrain from deity worship. And if a devotee is not even in a repentant mood, but is in a perhaps defiant mood, and defiant more in the sense that he's making up his own philosophy, that it's not really important to be so pure, it's not really important, some of these things are just part of vidhi, but in a higher sense they're not necessary. The devotee starts concocting and making up philosophy, then it may be that the spiritual master may even say, all right, well, aside from not worshipping the deity and not doing deity worship, perhaps you should stop chanting Gayatri Mantra as well. Of course, that's sort of a last resort. And that's the type of thing that you may do when, for instance, you see that a devotee doesn't chant his or her bad habit is that, well, I'm forgetting to chant Gayatri. I generally miss one Gayatri a day, sometimes two, or haven't chanted Gayatri Mantra in the last 4 years. Under circumstances like that, the spiritual master would say, well, listen, until you really develop a taste for chanting, until your appreciation for receiving a mantra increases, then you don't chant. And when you think that you are ready, you let me know and I'll let you hear the mantra again and give you permission to chant if I think that it's the right thing to do. So, yes, spiritual master has this responsibility. Firstly, deity worship is not a form of employment. Someone shouldn't think, oh, I have to continue. I can't tell anyone about my problem because I'll be out of a job and how will I feed my family? We've really gotten to a bad state if that's how deity worship is being done, whether qualified or not. Just the mere fact that I'm doing some work, and if I lose that work, I'm going to be out of a service or out of a job, to the point. And that's what deity worship is. Then the Krishna consciousness movement is not doing well. And that's not how we have to approach the thing, but rather we have to maintain that purity is the force. And in the matter of worshipping the deity form of the Lord, devotees have to maintain standards of purity. That is the worship. Offering the incense, making offerings of bhoga. That's a aspect, but the essence of the worship, that's the external, the essence of the worship, is actually the purity of the heart and the yomi bhaktya priyachati. So Krishna says, patram pushpam param toyam yomi bhaktya priyachati. It's the devotion that's important. And devotion is not there unless conscientious, attentive spiritual practices are adhered to. That shouldn't be a point of contention. And the spiritual master has to regulate a disciple according to the extent of his or her deviation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur even says that when that deviation is extreme, in the case of a conditioned, the spiritual master being a conditioned soul, not a fully liberated soul, he risks going to hell along with his disciple. So it's a serious issue, and not only is he spiritual master then taking the reaction of the offenses committed by the disciple, but he himself is also committing namaparad. He's also committing offense because he's not, I'm just stressing the deities, because he's Lord Chaitanya right now, because he's not behaving according to his station. He's not doing his service, he's not doing his duty. His duty is to help train and ensure devotees come to the level of full purity and qualified devotional service in the name of so-called being merciful to let devotees continue committing sinful activity is not condoned. And it's not a path of spiritual advancement. So in this case, even the spiritual master himself must be very careful how he conducts himself. I've actually, just as a side comment, I've recommended before to head pujaris that they keep an eye out on pujaris. And if there's some telltale signs that this pujari is remiss in attendance to the morning program, doesn't look like he's chanting rounds, or there's some rumors about his interaction with members of the opposite sex, restrained he is in his personal habits like that, then you should sit down and ask them. Honesty is certainly the best policy. You should be open and we should be open as individuals, and we should be open with others. and ensure that the integrity and the quality of devotional practices continues, so that we are really actually offering the Omi Bhakta Pyajati. We're offering the best to Krishna, because Krishna really does deserve the best. All the best of Guru Purnima to everyone, and Hare Krishna.